is the IPSE SDA Media Network.
Is that a small request when the Lord says, train up my child? Is it a simple, easy thing to do? I mean, we can make it hard. Your children can make it hard. Sometimes it can be easy. It really can. If we just listen to what the Lord says and do what the Lord says, training up your children really can be very easy and a most pleasant and happy thing to do. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
And happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. If the fathers don't mind, we really do want to put all total elevated interest on mothers, okay? Now, June 17th, I hope that you have somebody in the church that's going to do the same for your fathers, because fathers is just as important as mothers, right? It just so that it's just not Father's Day. So you fathers, you understand that, right? All right. So what we want to do today, what the Lord wants to do, very, very simple, and we're not going to be here long, because he wants to just remind the mothers of their holy and sacred duty. That's all he wants to do. Many mothers are doing their holy, sacred duty. Some mothers may be falling behind. He just says, I want to encourage you if you're falling behind on your duties. I want you to redeem the past. And I want you to be the mothers that I designed you to do, because we have a task that is greater than anything on this earth. No angel can ask for a higher mission than to train children for heaven. Amen. Now, I Googled how much a mother should probably get, a minimum wage. Now, you know you can find everything on Google. So I went in there and I put in everything that I did for my children that I'm still doing, probably what I have to always do, even though my kids is half a century years old. I put that in there too. So they said, minimally, Roberta, you should be receiving $239,000 a year. And that's minimum wage. I'm not adding in when I have to go outside the box. I'm not adding in when I got to get creative and I got to kind of brush up on my taekwondo skills. I'm not adding that. Because if I was to add that, then we got to double that fee. So when someone, you know how people get around and they talk and the first thing they say, what do you do? And, you know, how much are you making? You can say $200 if you're a mother, or a mother figure. Now, a mother figure, they don't have to have children of their own, but they're caretakers, and they teach other children, and they even pay for some of the children to go to church school or whatever. So that's a mother figure, too, just as important. So I figure, you know, I don't know, raise it up to about $500,000. We ought to be just about right, right? Anyway, let's pray. Dear Father, speak to the mothers today through your Holy Spirit, that we will be able to represent you in our children. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't return. He won't, I mean, if you can't remember the training, how you gonna remember the training? When he's old, he won't depart from it. Now, what's the big word in that? What's the big word in that text? Let me say it again. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. What's the big word? It. It is the big word. Because the Bible did not say your child will never leave, but your child will never forget the training. No matter what, people remember the training. And many, many, many times that through the Lord is what brings your child back if your child has strayed. But remember, mothers, if you've done your job the best that you can with the Lord's help, and if your child chooses to go another way, your training is there and your work will not be void. And your name will still be immortalized in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this is why we pray for our children on a daily basis. If they're not walking in the way of the Lord, we keep praying that they'll come back, that they'll remember the training in Proverbs 22:6. Now, Paul in the Bible, and Apollos, you know Apollos in the Bible, okay? E.E. Cleveland, Randy Skeet, the Lord takes them all over the world as missionaries. They have been baptizing, and they have baptized millions of souls. Now, if they go to heaven and all those souls that they've baptized, they're going to have zillions of stars on their crown. But what and whom did God say has a much more nobler and greater mission than those people I just named? Mothers, we need to understand that. Our work is a work of a lifetime. It is a great and noble work, much greater than anyone. An angel is not able to do this mission that God has entrusted mothers to do. So God today just wants us to continue to be faithful, and we're just going to go over a few little things just to remind you and keep you on the right track. You got it? Because we know you know all this stuff, right? Okay, so let me just say, there's a mother I was talking to, and she was feeling something like this one day. So on Mother's Day, a worried mom was daydreaming in her thoughts. She says, why didn't I pursue my dream to become an astronaut? Why, she asked, was I not called to take the gospel to other lands or baptize 1,000 souls or be known for something grand? I could have written many books, and such education is the key. Why wasn't I more determined to pursue my PhD? I should have been more ambitious to finish things I've started. I could have been a Judge Judy, but those dreams have long departed. Every time I reach for the sky, my plans just keep on falling. What is my purpose here on this earth? And Lord, then what is my calling? Then squealing in the background, she heard her children say, you're the best mom in the world, so happy Mother's Day. She smiled as she remembered when her children were 3 or 4. With pride, she taped scribbled artwork on the refrigerator door. Joyfully, she remembered how she bandaged every scratch, how her kisses healed every bruise that only took a mother's knack. Her child was in a school play and forgot every word by fire, but the mother hooped and hollered so you thought the child was a star. Thoughts of worldly fame and honor hushed when she then heard Jesus say, I've given you the highest calling. So yeah, happy Mother's Day. So this is what the Lord is telling all mothers today. Now, mothers, tip number one. Here we go. Are you ready? First, I'm going to do a little disclaimer. All the information you're going to get today is coming from Adventist Home, okay? When you train your child, picture your child as a rose. A rose is gentle. The petals will fall at the slightest touch. So you have to be able to train your children with kindness, gently, and also with firmness. This is why a flower can push up through cement. They're still firm, yet soft. This is how you have to do. So whenever it's time to discipline or train or do anything, encourage, whatever, picture a rose and then go from there. In Adventist Home, page 309, it says, children have sensitive, loving natures, and they are easily pleased and easily made unhappy. By gentle discipline and loving words and acts, mothers may bind their children to their hearts. Say what you mean calmly, move with consideration, and carry out what you say without deviation. Now, I'm sure everybody knows this. Screaming and hollering, trying to get your kids to do right, means nothing. They may not say it to you, but they're saying it in their mind. You're making home, if you do this, you're making home a very irritable and fearful place for them. You don't have to scream and holler to get your point across. Okay? They don't listen when we scream and holler. This is why I've really never screamed and hollered. There's a look that God told me to use. It looks, goes something like this. Now, that used to be worse than a scream and a holler, because after that look, you know, came some discipline. But you don't have to scream and holler. Watch your words. Make sure that you're not misrepresenting Jesus in your home, okay? Adventist Home says, page 308, words that intimidate, creating fear and expelling love from the soul are to be restrained. Harsh words sour the temper and wound the hearts of children, and in some cases, it is very difficult to heal. Children pay no attention to loud, angry voices of command, nor threatenings of punishment. That's probably why if you're hollering and screaming, you're wondering, but my child's still not doing, what's wrong with her? It's because they're not paying you no attention. Change your method. Okay? Another very important thing that we must remember. Children, they do not like a nasty, filthy, cluttered home. Now, they may keep their room like that, but you got to go in there and make sure they clean it up. But you got to understand something. An orderly house makes your discipline orderly. You can think better. You're not irritated. And when the Lord says, and this is found in Adventist Home, clean every part of your house, not just the part that people see when they come in the front. Clean your upstairs, clean your closets, clean your garage, clean your basement. It is angels want to visit you, and they go all through your house. Unless you think you can tell the angels, but don't go in this room because I didn't have a time. Oh, no, no, no. Just clean your house. It just helps keep things organized, and it helps keep your discipline organized. You can plan better. Have you ever come home from work and your house was all dirty? I did that once. And then I almost was like the lady that we saw before, getting ready to holler and scream and kill somebody. But the Lord told me what's messed up can be cleaned up. What's broken can be repaired. And just keep on going and keep a loving smile on your face, and then make sure that they help you cleaning up those who messed it up. Adventist Home. The home should be as attractive as possible. Cleanliness, neatness, and order are indispensable to the proper management of the household. Even though you may be poor, God is displeased with disorder and slackness. I remember my very first apartment in Ann Arbor on Green Road. I didn't have a stitch of furniture. Nothing was in it. I had nothing but walls and a floor. So the Lord said, okay, wax the floor, keep the walls clean until you can afford to get some furniture. So you don't have to be rich, and then you find that, oh, you just feel so good, and you're so pleasant, and your children just love to be around you. Now, sometimes mothers can be overworked, and a lot of times it's not the children's fault. It's because the mothers haven't given their children any chores to do to help their load. You know, why should we just go around doing everything like a little slave? I have memos all over my house. I charge fees, all types of stuff. I have to think out the box. My kids is old now. They're tall, and they think they grown, but, you know, they'll never be grown. Your children are never grown when they live with you. I don't care if they're 55, 60, 120. You're never grown if you live with your parents. Children, get your own place. And then you become grown. Now, that did not come from the Adventist Home. That came from Adventist Roberta. Okay? But you know how to apply it. Children must be taught that the mother's job is not to wait on them hand and foot. You know? Everybody should have a specific thing to do. And parents, don't hate your work. It's a beautiful thing to keep your house clean and your kids disciplined, even if you have a career. These days, most of our mothers have careers and they're seeking their PhDs. Now, you got to remember, a mother already has a PhD. It's in child development. So that's what you say when everybody's in a circle and they're talking about, oh, how far, what's your degree? I have a PhD in child development. Now, if they don't ask you to explain it, move on. I tell you, that's, I mean, some things you just got to do. You know. So anyway, so parents are not to be slaves to their children. This is on page 283. doing all the sacrificing while the children are permitted to grow up careless and unconcerned, letting all the burdens rest on the parents. Parents should awaken to the fact that the most important lesson is to teach them that they must act their part in bearing the burdens of the house. And this will help you to keep everything in order. I want to give you another tip. It's called a 30-plus plan. Regarding the text that went back, the picture that went back about keeping your house clean. This is what I do. And it really, really works. And I got this from a book called, Oh No, It's Sabbath Again. So it's called the 30-plus plan. I've told a lot of people about this plan. So you choose one day, whatever it may be, any day except for the Sabbath, and you do all kinds of work in your house, the general work, the cleaning of the ovens, the washing the windows, the blinds. That's your big work. You take one day and you do that. The rest of the week, you have 30 minutes. Maintain it for 30 minutes. By maintaining, it means before you go to bed at night, everything should be in order. And it don't take long. It takes about 30 minutes. You do that every day and you maintain. So you're not all day working and cleaning. Who wants to do that all day long? You can even go to work, go to school and still follow this 30-plus plan. But you just got to make sure that before you go to bed at night, everything is in order. Then when you wake up, your house is clean. That's doable and it works. I've been doing that for years. It works. Adventist Home. Oh, I read that one. Alrighty, we're on to the next one. Mothers, whatever you do, make your home happy. Laugh with your children. Play with your children. Wrestle with them. Beat them up. That's fun. You know, that's love. That's showing them how much you love them. You know, you're killing two birds with one stone. Yeah, they know you love them and they know they have a limit. You know, but it's beautiful. Just always maintain a happy disposition. Open the windows. Let the sun shine. It says, even if you're sick, even if you're depressed, children love to come home to happy parents. They really do. What children learn in their home, when they get their own home, they imitate it. And then their children imitate it. And I'm telling you, this is why it says our training never, ever ends. Don't make your home feel like a tomb. Control it when you're depressed. If you're unhappy, control it when your children are around. Adventist Home, page 252. The mother can and should do much toward controlling her nerves and mind when she's depressed. Even when she is sick, she can be pleasant and cheerful if she just practices it. Then she can bear more noise than she would ever thought possible. As you got older, you know, you can't stand a whole lot of noise. When I read now, it has to be totally quiet. Nothing. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear nobody on the phone. You know, this is why the Lord said you got to put them down in the basement then in order for that to happen. So that's what we did. But you're able to, you know, to, by basement, I mean lower level. It's really a nice little apartment for them. I'm not abusing the kids. You know, that's what I mean, you know. So anyway, so just don't let your kids see a clouded brow on your face. Make it happy. And I guarantee you, they'll never want to leave. Now, some of you are saying, whoa, 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 whoa. I want them to leave. But that's okay. If the children decide they want to leave at 18, you know, and they want to get their own place, they go off to school, that's a good thing. But be sure, they're going to take the training with them wherever they go. Now, my daughter, Shauna, she told me a long time ago she's never, ever leaving. Now, I had to think about that. But she's such a good paying tenant, you know. I mean, if they pay rent, let them stay. You know, she's beautiful. Her kids are very respectable. Love them to death. Now, I used to do this. It didn't matter to me what I looked like in my own house. I'm walking around the house looking just like her, looking like something that was scared of crows from the corn. But then I read, it said, now, you know, you need to fix yourself up. You know, don't just do it on Sabbath when you're coming around people. You notice how bad sometimes mothers be really looking at the house, and then they look out and they see somebody knocking on the door and they run and they fix and they do this. Why are you doing that for strangers? Why don't you do it for your kids? Do it for you. If you have a husband in the home, do it for him. You think your husband want to look at you looking like that? You know? And then be driving in the car. The husband might look to the left, look to the right, and then you're ready to kill him. Fix yourself up. On a daily basis, you do it when you go to work. So it helps the children. It gives them a lesson on neatness and purity. Adventist Home, page 254. Mothers, make yourselves as attractive as possible, not by elaborate trimming, but by wearing clean, well-fitted garments. Then you will give your children lessons in neatness and purity. We may not think that people appreciate us down here as mothers, and sometimes people don't, but many times people do. But the thing is, the recording angel writes down every deed the mother goes through for her loving children. Every time the mother has to discipline, has to stop her life sometimes to take on the child's life and take the child here, take the child there, doing this, doing that, feeding, clothing, all of this. When they do it cheerfully, the angel, recording angel, writes that down in the book of remembrance. We need to remember that. Page 244, the mother's work seems to sometimes unimportant. It is a work that is rarely appreciated. Her days are occupied with little duties, all calling for patience and for wisdom and for tact and for self-sacrificing love. But heavenly angels watch the careworn mother, noting the burden she carries, and she writes it down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is page 244. Now, sometimes mothers, we can get a little off track. Sometimes we can get so involved in church activities and doing all kinds of things, we neglect the first important work, which is to train your children. Now, this is not saying, once again, that you can't have these aspiring things, but you cannot neglect your children and doing it. The Lord will give you balance. He'll give you strength. He'll help us to do both. We can go to school. We can pursue a PhD or whatever degree you want to pursue. We can do these things and take care of our home at the same time, because mothers are super women. We are wonder women. You just got to ask the Lord, show me how to do it. But don't give it to nobody else to do. You know? Because that is your job, and we need to see it like that. Adventist Home, if you ignore your duty as a wife and mother and you hold out your hands for the Lord to put another class of work in them, be sure he will not contradict himself. He points you to the duty you have at home. If you have the idea that some work is greater and holier than has been entrusted to you, you are under a deception. The Lord has not called you to neglect your home and children. He never works in this way, and he never will. When mothers do the things they do, just everything. I can't even name all the things that mothers do. They really do need to be a president. We need to have a mother for president, a real God-fearing mother. I'm not advocating that we get into politics. Know what to take home, folks. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. You get me? I'm saying, Roberta went home and told everybody they need to run. No, I'm saying that we could be the best president ever. We would know how to fix every crisis on this land, because when you have children, I think every crisis, I think you're doing it anyway. You gotta be smart. You gotta be quick thinkers. You're smarter than your children, but they don't know that. Children think that they're smarter than the mothers, you know, because, you know, we're getting old, and they think we've forgotten. They don't know, bless their little cute hearts. But when they have children, they will know. You can't outsmart a mother. This is what Catherine Wright was saying. She said, do we have eyes in the back of our heads? Yes, they're angel eyes. God is telling us, okay, child's over here doing this, child's over here doing that. Go down and do a little snooping. All right, I'm going to get off that because a lot of people say children should have their own privacy. Let me just throw a little thing here. Once again, in 7200 Warwick, you have no privacy. I need to find out what you're doing every minute of the day, so I snoop. When the kids is gone, and the boys know this, I go all in their stuff, looking for clues, looking for anything, so that it will help me in my training. I don't want to hear about it from nobody else. Now, I don't know what your children are doing in the street, but in your home, you need to be spies. You need to be smart, and you need to use the wisdom of the Lord to help training your children, because we need a lot of help, because the devil is after your kids like white on rice, and you know that's true. So be smart, be quick, be strong. I'm telling you. No other work can equal mothers in importance. She's not like the artist to paint a form of beauty on a canvas, nor a sculptor to chisel it from marble, not like an author to embody a noble thought, nor like the musician to express a beautiful sentiment and melody, but she has, with the help of God, the ability to develop in her children the likeness of God. And that is the mother's mission. Now, let's talk a little bit about discipline. And there's all kind of ways to discipline, because all of our children are different. You know, some kids may need a little spanking, because the Lord says, spare the rod. I mean, really, sometimes you got to show the text in Deuteronomy where the elders used to take the kids and they used to stone them. So this little spanking, what you know, is nothing. If they need it, it's always the last resort. Some parents just put them on a little punishment, a little bitty timeout. Oh, let me take your cell phone for a day. You know, kids get along with a cell phone for a day, then get along with it for a week. Make sure your children respect and obey you. But discipline in loving tones once again. And the Lord will tell you what to do. I had 5 kids, had to discipline them all different. I never had to spank my oldest daughter, Shana, because she was so afraid of the belt. So when I walked towards her, she fainted. She said, and she went all the way down. I said, ooh, I ain't got exert no energy on her. Let me go to the boys. Okay, I had to whoop them every day. But, you know, but she, you know, and Nikki, she still brings it up that I spanked her unjustly. Once a year, she wants an apology because she said I spanked her unjustly because her and her sister was fighting. I didn't know what to do. I knew the other sister started it, but I have to be fair. I didn't know the details, so I spanked them both. Nikki said she was unjust because she didn't start it. I believe her, but I couldn't show that to the other kids. You know what I'm saying? I had to whoop them both, you know. And so when you discipline your children, make sure they think that they know it's God that's doing it. So say, Jesus doesn't want you to do this, you know. But don't give them no whole dissertation about it. You ain't got to read every chapter in the Bible about raising children in order to get your kids to do right. They even fell asleep on you. Once you talk to them about it and they understand, administer punishment as needed and what type, the Lord will tell you. But don't deviate from what you're going to do. How many mothers do this? Next time you do that, I'm going to do so-and-so. Then they do it again. Next time you do that, I'm going to do it. Don't threaten if you're not going to do it. You know, but don't make your threats unrealistic either. Like, if you do that again, I'm going to snap your neck. Well, actually, that's not... That's not unrealistic. I mean, you can, but you know you're not going to do that. So tell them things that you're going to do and do it. Or they'll say, Mom ain't going to do nothing. She just talk. So you see how simple these things, and you do these things anyway, right? All right. So now it says the mother is the queen of the home, and her children are her subjects. She is to rule her household wisely, gently but firmly. Her influence in the home is paramount. Her word is law. And the Christian mother will command respect from all of her children. And when you have a home that's filled with God's love, that's bright, that's sunshiny, your children will not want to leave. And if they leave, they will always want to come back, because they'll know that it is a home where it's inviting, it's love there, Jesus is there, it's clean there, it's happiness there. Always make your home a place where children love to come back. Okay? You know, I know that we want the kids to leave when they get 18, a lot of them, you know, but if you've trained them right and they're able to be on their own, because, you know, coming from the Adventist Roberta's home, 18 is really young. I think it's kind of young, but then that's just me. But some kids are very mature at 18, and they're able to do these things, so that's fine. All kids are different. But today, on Mother's Day, these are just reminders and some tips to make your lives so much prettier and easier. So at this time, if all the mothers in this church would please stand. And when I mean mothers, I'm talking about, stand if you're my biological mother. If you are a caretaker with no children, please stand. If you're one of those mothers who don't have any kids, but you have nurtured another person's child, putting them through school, whatever, please stand. Okay, now as Debbie plays the piano, but before Debbie plays the piano, I need you to sit down. Okay, now do you see how quickly you did that? Did I have to say it twice?
What about Mr. Mom?
Huh? Mr. Mom? Well, what do you mean? You want me to ask the men to stand? Okay, yeah, on June 17th, beloved pastor. June 17th is Father's Day. It doesn't mean we don't love you as much as we love the mothers, but once again, this is not your day. Do you get it? I mean, come on. Now, I am going to bring some fathers into this, though, because I'm going to tell you what makes the mother's burden lighter and what makes her happy when she does her motherly duties is a father or a husband who appreciates her. Now, I want you to listen to this called Three Loving Fathers. Are you listening? All right. Once upon a time, there were three loving fathers who understood their sacred duty and calling. They understood that their wife was the queen of the home and they should help keep the family from falling. They all prided themselves in doing their part to help ease their wife's burdens and trials. They promised to help her in everything. They'll say, we'll even go the extra mile. Well, father number one thought he kept that promise. He was so proud of the part he played. He gave his wife a list of all things to be done, for he had an obedient, loving maid. She disciplined, washed windows, cooked three meals a day. Her mother duties were never forsaken. He loved the fact that all things was in place, because he said, my job is just to bring home the bacon. He would quote the Bible five times a day from Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. He would proudly say, I'm the head of this house, and the Bible says, submit to me. Father number two just beamed with pride. He appreciated her hard working hours. He said, I know how to keep her lifted up. I'll smother her with candy and flowers. As he watched the sweat falling from her brow, as he watched her weary, tired feet, he said, well, at least I'm better than father number one. I'll just bring her extra treats. His gifts were given from a thoughtful heart, but at times he saw sadness and tears. He said, now what is she unhappy about? I should be father of the year. Father number three clearly understood his role, and the mother was completely blessed. He cheerfully went the extra mile by easing her burdens and stress. He did more than bring flowers and gifts and patting her on the back. They took turns sharing the duties and chores, and he helped make up the slack. If his wife was tired and needed rest or was just under the weather, he would clean the house, cook the meals, because he said, we're in this thing together. They strengthened each other's arms, and this made her the perfect mother. He didn't leave out Ephesians 5:21, which says submit to one another. So fathers, appreciate your wives. Appreciate what she is called to do. Be careful, attentive, and compassionate, and she'll thrive because of you. So fathers, is that okay? So you got your little part for Father's Day. So now, at this time, I do want all the mothers and mother figures to stand while Debbie is playing Train Up a Child. Now, as you notice over here in the table, there's a book for all of you mothers and mother figures. Some of your mothers, if you're not able to stand, like Brandonette's mom, I need someone to get a book for her, okay? If any mothers, if you don't feel like walking up, all you have to do is raise your hand, someone will bring a book to you. Now, the thing is, it's all different types of book. It's like 25 different types of books, and you can choose whatever you want. At this time, mothers, I need you to slowly walk over to the book table, select a book that you would love. Now listen to me. I mean, just walk and do it at the same time. You got about 30 seconds each to pick up a book. You know, maybe 20, because you know we you know, so yeah, you don't have to peel through them, Jody. Just go ahead and get your book. And fathers, once again, while they're doing this, and all you men in the church, you need to give them another hearty amen for all the work that they do, for taking care of you, taking care of your children. Okay. And while, when you're done, kind of hurry it up, please. I see people just mulling over, can't make a decision. That's one of the things that mothers have to learn to do. You got to learn to make quick decisions. Should I beat it with the belt or should I punish it? Make quick decisions. The Lord has blessed all you mothers. Uh-huh. Yep, just grab your book and keep right on going. Very good. And have all the mothers stood? What about the mother figures? Did all the mother figures who still nurture children, even though they have no children? Debbie, that will be you, but you're playing the piano. So, okay. All right. So, if you can go get the Adventist home. Okay. That's for Debbie. And now, mothers, you really got to read these books, okay? When you get them, read them. They're going to help you with the training of your children. Are you moving a little faster? I see you going a little slow, mothers. We need to move it so we can end the service today. Mm-hmm. That would be one book per mother. Mm-hmm. And if there's nothing up here that you, like you may have them all, you can still get one and give it to somebody else that's in this mother figure realm. All right, mother, you just about done? Cora, did you go up? Okay. So did we miss any mothers? And everyone has their book, mothers? Say amen. All right. Get her another one. It's gone. Heaven. Okay, don't worry about it, Mika. All right, mothers. Yes, I see two men up here. I need to ask a question. Oh, okay. Kevin? Huh? Wonderful. That's what I'm talking about. Got to make sure you know, once again, what day is this? All right, that's what I'm talking about. Mothers are wonderful. Okay, how you coming over there? Wonderful. Okay, let's all be seated again. Everyone has their book. Yes, Jalen. Excuse me? You know, y'all pushing it. Yeah, I'm serious. You're really, really pushing it. I mean, he came and got a book for his mother. She doesn't even attend this church. What should I do? Huh? All right. Pastor said, leave him alone. All right, let's move it on down. Everyone has their book, and you're going to read these books, right, mothers? Wonderful. The Lord loves you with an everlasting love. We have the greatest, the most honorable position on this earth to train our children. And just imagine when Jesus has come and we don't have to look for our kids. Your guardian angel will bring your child to you, the child that you prayed for, denied over, sacrificed over, and then you'll realize the importance of a mother's work. Shall we bow our heads, please? Dear Father, thank you so much for making us mothers. Give us the strength, give us the courage, give us tact, give us wisdom, give us everything we need in order to train our children for you. For you said, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. Thank you for your love. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen.